Grace and peace, and welcome to Thirsty Thursday. Glad you're here on this podcast, and pray that God speaks to you through these words and empowers and equips you for life and love in His name. So today I want to focus in on a very simple theme called Claimed by Christ. Claimed by Christ, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 5, verse 10. One verse, but a little background. Chapter 5 is about the calling of the first disciples. And in this story, again, this is a seaside, a lakeside story. The fishermen had gone out. They got in the boats. They had not really caught much here. And then he teaches. The boats get filled up with fish. And then this word from Jesus, he says to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And then when they had brought their boats ashore, they left everything and followed him. And I'd say, you know, I'm a little bit stuck in the word, because for Jesus to say what he says, it's like, catching fish, catching people, those are radically different things, right? Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people. The people business is messy business. Most of our stress in life is because all of us are in the people business. But is there any other way to live? We are made to do life together. And I think the most significant thing about you as a human being, about me as a human being, is that we are made to be in a loving relationship with God. And the loving relationship, from God's perspective, from God's definition, then defines who we are. Yes, the relationship with God is to be the thing that defines who we are. And so who are you? That's a basic question, right? In all relationship, who are you? Anytime you join a community or enter into a new community where you begin again in a community, you get asked this question. You're like, what do I say about myself? How do I share parts of my story with these people who may judge me or decide for themselves what they want to think about me? Who am I? Who are you? It's a basic question. How many different answers can you think up? You can define yourself in so many different ways. You have a name, of course, but how much does that really tell? There are probably other people in the world with your same name and they aren't you. Is there a similarity? You might have a job, but is that who you are? Well, some would say no way, right? There is a problem with labels. You have a family. You're a son or you're a daughter. Maybe a brother or sister. Maybe a father or mother. Now, is that who we are? One way people sort out their own identity or the identity of others is by applying these labels. They even fix labels on themselves or on each other. So I'm going to throw a bunch of labels at you here. And I want you to ask yourself which labels others might apply to you or you might apply to yourself as I say these. Male, female, transgender, big, small, average, black, Hispanic, African, European, Asian, American, straight, gay, wealthy, poor, middle class. Well, what do these labels really tell you about who you are? And what business do we have fixing labels on God's people, right? What business do we have fixing labels even on ourselves? I think it's important as we wrestle in faith about identity to recognize that within humanity, we feel that sense of brokenness or incompleteness. And yet, even in the midst of that, in the midst of all these labels, we're still claimed by Christ. Yes, we can be broken or try to define around all these things, but we're still claimed by Christ. According to the biblical story, there is one identity for you that matters more than any other. You are Christ. Jesus Christ died on this cross so that you and the entire world might be reconciled to God, so that you might belong to Jesus. Now, this belonging language here does not mean that you are a property or possession, but instead that you have a relationship with God. It is even really a label, not in the same way that tall or short are labels. It's about being loved, living within the story of Jesus. In Luke 5 there that I referenced, it tells the story of how Jesus first called Peter and others to be what? Disciples. Peter and some others had been fishing all day, but hadn't caught anything. So they gave up, they rowed ashore, and they started cleaning their equipment. And on the shore, Jesus was teaching this crowd. The crowd was crowding Jesus, so he got into Peter's boat and he went out a little way to sea so that he could teach better. And when he finished teaching, he told Peter to throw in a line. "Look," said the future disciple, "we fished all night but didn't catch a thing, but if you say so." And they caught so many fish that their nets almost broke and the boat just about got swamped. They whistled for another boat, which came to help, and together the two boats caught so many fish that both boats were swamped. Seemed like a miracle. But it's then, don't get distracted by the first miracle, the real miracle happened. Peter said to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful person." Because of the miracle of the fish, Peter recognized that Jesus was from God, something greater than even what was realized. Finding himself suddenly in the presence of God, Peter realized that he was a fallen, broken person. It was not that Peter had sinned, it was that Peter was simply a sinner. It's just part of our humanity. Peter was not talking about what he had done. He was talking about what he was, just a broken human being. Somebody that felt personally they weren't worthy of being in the presence of Jesus. In the church, we talk about sin, the condition of being separated from God, the things that we fall short with that separate us from God. But Jesus here shocked Peter by coming back at him and saying, "From now on, Peter, you will be catching people." And it says that Peter, James, and John each walked away from their boats and all the fish they had caught and simply followed. Now, if we stop right there, we notice something really important. Jesus called Peter to follow him while he was still a sinner, while he was still broken. Jesus didn't say to Peter, "First you have to quit sinning and then you can follow me." He didn't say, "Oops, your sin counts you out. No, not good enough." No, Jesus just called Peter to follow. Why? Because Jesus takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the bridge that overcomes the separation that exists between God and this broken world. Jesus comes into the world to work on our human condition in order to be the solution for Peter's sin and all of our sin, to receive that, to take that from us. We are fallen, but through Jesus, God has a relationship with us anyway. And being claimed by Jesus, you're then called to join that mission. The whole sinful yet accepted thing is pretty amazing, right? it's pretty hard to wrap our minds. We're often blown away by it. How could I feel this separate or feel all these labels of the world, and yet God comes to me and accepts me as I am, names and claims me as God's own, already loved, already accepted. This relationship with God through Jesus, it flows through us and into the rest of the world. Jesus starts these relationships with us and then calls us to follow and join in to God's mission to love and bless and to share it the world over. And so we are called into mission through that relationship. Now, here's a basic problem that we tend to have with all the gifts that God has given us. We start to think that God's gifts to us maybe are personal property. God gives us physical and mental talents. God gives us stuff, and God gives us spiritual things. And we tend to think maybe that those things are just our own possessions. We might even say, gosh, I'm really glad that I'm forgiven, that I'm blessed. That's sweet for me. And it is. But notice that when Peter admitted that he was a sinner, Jesus called him to join the mission. From now on, you will be catching people. Your gifts are not just for you or for yourself. Christ does not take this sin so that we can say, "Woo, I'm sure glad that my sin doesn't separate me from God." Christ calls us to follow, and that means teaching other people to follow Christ too, so that all people can say, "Wow, we are glad." We move from the I and me and my to the we and the us. We are glad that our sin doesn't separate us from God, and that God has given all of us an important place in God's mission. All identities, all culture, all people, all places wrapped into that. Our relationship with God isn't just for ourselves. It's for the sake of the entire world. And so for today, I want us to think about the voices of all the voices out there. There are millions of voices coming at us. And a disciple is somebody who's following a particular teacher. But a Christian disciple is one for whom Jesus is the primary Lord and teacher. And our eyes need to stay fixed there. We want to hear the voice of our shepherd. And so think about all the places that you've been this week. All the places maybe that God will send you to into the week. And how do you follow Jesus while you're in these different places? How do you follow Jesus when you're in these different places? What does following look like? And what does it look like for you to be sharing and fishing for people in those particular contexts? Deep question, huh? Well, remember, it happens everywhere. Yes. Yes, you. Don't be afraid. You are made to fish for people. And by doing so, you're extending grace and hope and life to the entire world. All right, consider those call stories. Consider how you're a disciple. And remember, stay thirsty, my friends.